the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I help this Q&A session. Question, and don't think that this is an answer. It's my understanding. It's better. So when you go to other places, or Pastor TJ said that, please don't say that. This is my view, okay? So only God is the true answer, and the Bible is the true answer. So what I share is for reflections of my understanding from the questions. We're going to from the one-by-one Holy Communions. The first one, yeah, we can have a Holy Communion. Yeah, if all of you feel the need of the Holy Communion, the benefit to us, yeah, edify us, surely we can offer for the Holy Communions. Some of the church, even periodically, like every several months, have a Holy Communion. So there's no problem for this first one. Second one. Finish reading. Yes. For Holy Communion, why are grapes used? What's the significance of grapes? I'm sure there's a good reason why God specifically chose the fruit grapes as opposed to the apple, kiwis, pomegranate. Yeah, I like the apple. I like the kiwis. I like the pomegranates. But the Lord Jesus used the grape. So let's turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 17. Chapter 22, verse 17 and 18. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourself." 18. "For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." So the clear about the Lord Jesus used the grape for the cup for the Jews. Verse 20, and in the same way he took the cup after they had eaten, saying that this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. So the significance of the grape is that Jesus used this for his own blood to use for the offering to his disciple. So let them to take and drink. So partake the Holy Communion in this way. So why other the fruits? I don't know. Jesus used a grape. So when we go to heaven, we can ask God. This the next one. And also, why have a grape juice? Because during the time of Passover, there's the fermented to change the substance can have it. So it is very reasonable that at that time the Jewish society cannot have anything fermented, actually. Yeah. So the next one here. What contraceptive are allowed according to the Bible? This one's only the Bible tells us, you know, Genesis chapter 1. Because I don't know other things, but Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 says, "God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." So I only know this verse. So I think it's the best is if you get married, think about the children at least two. It's helping your life, actually. If you have only one, you're very tiresome because you have to keep on taking care of the one because there's no one can to play together. And I've grown up with that myself alone with under my parents. Because I have no sibling, but I have a sister, but you know, it's already get married. When I was little, so It seems like myself, but yet I really, I live in the churches, so all the brothers and sisters together. I don't feel that I need anymore, but it's good to have at least a two. But if God doesn't allow you to have, that's okay. That's also, that's God's plan for you. So one, that's fine too. Two, okay. Three, blessed. don't get too much complicated about your plan for your future. Let the God can, you know, lead your life. It is best. Now, you know, the China, they so far until this time, they have only allowed one child, right? So now they changed to the two. But now they have a big problem in the whole nation, actually. Actually, this problem is continue to coming up even in the near future. So next 20, 30, 40 years, China, as a face, they are facing a lot of difficulties, the entire whole nations, because of they're trying to force to control the population in this way, you know, artificially. So they have but the United States is different. We are, this country is free, you know. You can have a 3, 4, 5, you know, no problems in this country. So, now I know the China and the USA, these two big force in the world, but China cannot compete with the United States because of the population is continue to improve enough to continue to help the entire nations. So, you know, GMP and a national product. Continue new generation to support all generations. This country is no problem, but China has a big problem. Actually, it looks like okay for them, but actually have a big problems. That statistic is saying that. So no matter how improved the China their technology, you know, science, no matter, but cannot compete with the United States. Yeah. So next 50 years is fixed already. If you know the certain, you know, article you read it, cannot compete with the United States. Because this country continue to follow, actually, after what God says. Of course, it's not totally, but still much better situation here. Yeah. So because that's what that's God's will, actually. So, you know, this is telling us a very important messages. And anyway, yes. And so what contraceptive allow according to the Bible? This Bible verse, yes, fruitful and multiplied. Because if you have two children, actually the whole population actually decrease eventually. So you're supposed to have more than two. I have two kids, but it's not fulfilled because according to God's way. Because I should have three. But the statistically, 2 point something, I forgot. But 2.3 or 2.5, then actually the population is steady. Just as the same. But if you have each couple have two children, eventually the population is decreased. You know, like friends. Now is South Korea is now decreased the number. That's amazing. Anyway, next is in the vitro fertilization is allowed between couple. This is for me is too high, you know, a medical field, you know, concept. But then I think I guess it's okay. Anybody who have no children, so they're using they rely on the, you know, the advanced medical, you know, technologies, and is it possible? There's a testimony. There's a one couple, they really wants to have a child, and then end up they want to using this, and so I suggest them, do you think it's possible you can have a 40 days, you know, morning fast, you can pray for you, you know, to having a child. So the couple, they agree. And they start to pray because, you know, they're working. So only just morning fast to pray. About before reached the 2 weeks, they got the child. They got the, you know, the pregnancy. Yes. You know, the sister, they sent me the messages. I have a child. I have, you know, the pregnant. So that's amazing. Huh? God is amazing. God actually waiting for the testing for their faith, actually. Then I learned that, we have options, but the best one is we can rely on God. Then God is Almighty God, can help us. Yeah. But it's not against it, I feel. Yeah, so, but don't think that this in vitro fertilization is for TJ say yes. But because I just my, you know, just little my knowledge to understand is maybe possible. Yeah. Next one, sir. Can both of preachers share their story of a, yeah, of course, because okay, we have a time that we can share. But I think our story is too old already. There's a many young pastors now, they can share their story. And the old story is an ancient story. But new story, I'm sure, is better. And so, and thank God. It's a God help us alive to find out a precious, you know, the spouse to help us, the ministry, and it is a blessing. And I think next time when you have a night time, we can have a minister, you know, can share, sharing time at night. We can do that, right? So you don't have to sleep 11 o'clock because you're grown up, right? You can cut down 12 o'clock, you can go to sleep. It's okay. So it's, but if you are, you know, J1 or E2, you have to sleep on right on time, but you are very flexible. No problems. So next we have a, you know, a youth adult, then we can have a, you know, officially not, but unofficially we have a nighttime share. We can, you know, we can share. That's okay. Yeah. And next is, what is the significance of a marrying in the chapel? Marrying, because the significance is both side of, you know, the brother and sister to come to the Lord, that the married in the Lord with the purity. So it is very, very meaningful, because our church policy, each two side has to be pure, and then they can have the wedding ceremony in the chapel. So it is really meaningful for all of you. You wait until you keep your purity until you get married the day. It is really, really wonderful blessing. Yeah. So that's the significance, I think. Next one. What a baptism can wash all sins away. Can repent after baptism have the strength is a efficacy, we can say, effectiveness to the forgiveness our sins. Yes, yes. The most important thing, once you look at the Romans chapter 6, the baptism is a process of your judgment. It makes sense. Everybody have to face the judgment. Do you agree? Yes. So you die with the Christ. Do you agree? So when you baptize in the name of Jesus, you die there. That means you're facing of the judgment. You know, those are non-believers, those do not believe in God, they do not go through this process of judgment. So they have the facing of the judgment on the last day. Is it true? But you have gone through the judgment process. Because you die with the Lord Jesus. So actually, you are facing of judgments. So when you get out of the water, you experience of death, actually. Because, you know, the wage of sin is what? Death. So you die with the cross. You facing of judgment, actually. So when you get out of the water, it's the old one and new one. New person. No longer to be the one that carried the sin, follow after the, you know, Adam and Eve, the generation after generations. So you have become a new person. So this is a process of it. The baptism is two parts. One is a judgment. One is a new life. So we can say born again Christians. The old one died, but new one came out. So that's why we say, Book of Revelation, we're saying that we participate the first resurrection. So the one who participate the first resurrection have no sin at all. It's a new person. It makes sense? Makes sense, right? Yeah, anyway. Water baptism can wash all sins away, can repent. After baptism have an efficacy to forgive our sins. Yes. Next one. How do we explain that baptism is not a work, but rather it is the belief in Christ's death for us? How do we explain the baptism is not a work? Baptism, you know, when you baptize in the name of Jesus, it looks it's work, but substance is submission. Is that? The work, outcome of your own self-righteousness is work too. But the work, but you submit to God is work too, outcome. But behind the substance is very different. You know, way to Pharisees, they keep the Sabbath. The way we keep the Sabbath is different because they're trying to keep the Sabbath based on the showing of their righteousness. But we keep the Sabbath based on that we keep the commandment of God with the full of submissions. So it's a different. So how do we explain about baptism is not a work? It is not a work, but it is outcome is a, you know, work, but within is a submission. Comes from the faith. Do you think you can be saved by faith? We all say by faith. The faith within is a true submission. That if we do not submit to God, yet we can say faith, then this faith is fake one. But you have a faith and then you submit it, submit yourself, then it is showing that you have a faith. Yes, outcome is work. But it's different than under the law. It's a different. Hopefully it makes sense. And so how do we explain the baptism not work, but rather it is a belief. So it is a submission. During the time of Passover, you remember, right? The last miracle, last plague upon to the Egyptians. But at the same time, Israelites also, God required for their faith. They have to kill the lamb and then they have to stay at home. And so that they have to apply the blood of the lamb to apply the doorpost. So that angel come, do not kill their own firstborns. That's not a work. That's submission. Yeah. So that to be saved. The next ones. How do we explain that the reference of baptism in Romans 6, Galatians 3, you know, 1 Corinthians 12, and not baptism by the Spirit? No, Holy Spirit is the one can and with us to help us the process of salvation. Without the Holy Spirit, Jesus has to come every generation physically. He have, you know, How is it possible 2,000 years ago Jesus died on the cross, his blood applied to us to wash away our sin? 2,000. How you can 2,000 years this gap to, you know, to remove, to be that his blood can apply to us only is possible through the Holy Spirit. Yeah, so it's very different than receiving the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit help us for the process of the salvation. It is different matters. So when you baptize in the name of Jesus, sure, when you baptize at that time, the three things, remember? Yeah, let's turn to First John. Chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 6. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, 7, 8. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, and not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. And it is the Spirit who bear witness, because the Spirit is the truth. So the baptism we are performing, it's not only the water itself, but blood. How is it possible the blood is applied there that the people washed away their sins? Because of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit work within the water. Let the water change to the blood of Jesus, so washed away our sin. It is work of the Holy Spirit, yeah. The next one, Holy Spirit. How do we explain? Do you have any questions so far? Confused or anything? I'm sure because you know, right? They're basics of Holy Spirit. How do we explain the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13? The whereupon believe we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of a promise. Ephesians chapter 1, if you look at the 1 verse 13. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of a promise. Because this is talk about the process of our salvation. First, we listen to the word of God, of the message of the gospel of salvation. You believe in the messages. You come to the Lord, and then you receive the Holy Spirit, so you can be promised, the sealed you to for sure for your salvation. It includes your faith. That means it includes include of the word of baptism within. If you look at the Bible, you know that when Peter was assigned to the Cornelius, and they while he preaching the word of God, they received the Holy Spirit, and then since they received the Holy Spirit, like they will receive, who can stop them to be, you know, to be baptized? So Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. The same thing as a big picture, we can see that once the people listen to the word of God, they believe it with the faith, and then they submit to them, and then they actually include the baptism and receive the Holy Spirit. Actually, all included. Even though all the experience and act of receiving the Holy Spirit result in speaking in tongue, how do we know that it is not just a sign during the time? What it means, during the time is a... Only during the time, is it? This one? Result in speaking tongue. How do we know that it's not just sign during the time? You can further explain. How? Only the single time happened. During the time of Acts. I think this instance is not only one time. Some of denomination they believe only single time is issue. But we understand that this, the receiving the Holy Spirit, it's a continuation. Because in the Bible, because continue to talk about instance in chapter 8, you know, when they only received the baptism, so the Jerusalem sending the apostle to let them to receive the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians later also will find out the receiving the Holy Spirit. So the baptism and Holy Spirit, they all combined together, going to for the process for their salvations. So it's not the single time of the instance, but it is a continuation. And also, Jesus talk about, you know, John chapter 3, unless you're born with the Word and the Spirit, mention about these two combined together, explain about the salvations. So the experience and act of receiving the Holy Spirit, it's not only the sign that during the time of Acts, also include all times. That's how we believe that. The next one, how do we explain the 1 Corinthians 14 describes speaking in tongues as a particular gift of the Spirit? Charisma as well as a gift of Daria that we all received. These are two different types of tongues from the gift of the Holy Spirit. Or it is one same tongues but different gift. I think in our church in the early time, the experience of, you know, the interpreted tongue. I think in Korea also early time, the first generation, they have experience of the tongue that interpreting tongues. But nowadays it's very hardly can see it. But we know the two difference, charisma, that a gift of the Holy Spirit, Doria, gift also of the Holy Spirit. Doria is giving to us, it's anybody can have this Doria. We know Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that Peter mentioned about gift of the Holy Spirit. That this gift is a Doria. Anybody who baptized in the name of Jesus, washed away their sin, they can receive this gift. So which is a speaking tongue. And charisma is this 1 Corinthians even 12, chapter 7 mentioned about that. This is a charisma. Charisma is a manifestations of the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, and then you're moved by the Spirit of God, you can contribute the gift. The gift is all different, right? And the 1 Corinthians chapter 12 mentioned about the all different gift. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14, this one's a talk about the speaking tongue as we speaking tongue. Because of chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, it talk about this speaking tongue. Who speak in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God. That no one understand. It talk about in the Holy Spirit that we received, and that we speaking tongue. So you can say a unknown tongue, we can say. So this tongue is a Doria, a tongue that we receive. But once it manifested, that this tongue to the benefit to the member, way to interpret the tongue, or a different kind of gift as to manifest it, then we can call it a charisma, as we can say, manifestation of the gift, we can say. Next ones. How do we... What time we have to finish? 2:50. How do we know that if we are going through trials and a hard time because God wants to test our faith or because we have done something wrong? God testing us, our faith? Do you believe that God tests our faith? If God tests your faith, then you are so blessed. You know that Abraham, the last one, offered his only son. God tests Abraham. God tests Abraham. So this is a very honor that our faith is being tested by God. This is a true honor. Where's the Genesis chapter? Let's turn to 22. Chapter 22, verse 1 says, "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham." I say, God tested Abraham. Test is a good thing. When you have a when you are school test, it's not happy, but still have to go through tests. But this is very constructive actually. Because the testing, which means it evaluate what you learned. So it is very, very blissful. At the same time, it inclined to the little bit negative side of testing also. It is possible. Yeah. God testing Israelites during the time of Judges. God keep on testing them. God knows their faith, it's not what expected in the God's standard. So God keep on testing them. Yeah. But it's just a little negative side. Also 40 years in the wilderness, Bible says God test them. So Deuteronomy chapter 8. The Moses talked to the Israelites, chapter 8, verse 2. "You shall remember all the way which the Lord," chapter 8, verse 2, Deuteronomy, "your God has led you to the wilderness these 40 years that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart." So test is a very constructive God offers us. If you are in his testings today, then you are your honor, actually, you're very blessed because you are enough to be evaluated from the God's eyes. So it is really, really blessing. If we are going through trials and a hard time because God wants to test our faith, and also our faith has to be improved, then trial is necessary sometimes. Hardship is necessary too. So it is not a punishment, it is a blessing of God. Now let's in the book of First Peter chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. First Peter chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. "But to the degree that you share the suffering of Christ, keep on rejoicing so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with the exaltation." 14. "If you are revealed for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." So the suffering that, because in our life, we go through the difficult time, whatever the nature of trials, you know that it's not you, because it's not because you commit sin, then it becomes a blessing for you. Yeah. Some people saying that, I heard in the radio, when you get the treasures of in the gift from God, they're always, you know, there's a box, the cover with the, you know, the, what is it, the box to seal it, but has to be opened. But when you, the opening process is a process of trials and testing of your faith, so that you can taking out to enjoy your treasure given from God. So the trials, actually, it is a blessing. But it is different when you eat too much and then you can blame to God. Why, God, you making my stomach so small, so I eat a lot, so let me have this stomach ache. You know, this is because of my problem. God says it's your problems. So it's a different things. When you make your own mistake, you can have, you, that's, God says, you deserve it. That's different. But if it's not, you know that you can feel the through your prayer, you know that. You have to invite this situation that you require, it requires your faith. That means it's a blessing because God allow you to have this for your blessing. But then it becomes a trial at the beginning as like a form, but turn out to be a blessing for you. So hopefully, because you know, anything in our life that what you having of the turn out to be not to be to be a punishment. It's a punishment. Is a punishment. I don't like the word punishment. It's too negative. Chastising is better. The discipline is better. Yeah, discipline is better. Punishing a little bit feel very, very down. So God chastise us. Yes, it is. God discipline us. Yes. Because we are not perfect. You know, we have to be trained. We have to be molded our life. Because we have a flesh, so we are not always the desire to follow God. Sometimes we are not. God also molded us, then required there's some trials, a hardship, and a hard time also. Next one, sir. How do I prevent myself from sleeping during the sermon? Yeah, this is really tough. I sleep too. So especially afternoon and after lunch. But if you have a tendency afternoon, you know, the food coma coming, you know, very often, then eat less. That's the one. And or you can take a vitamin vitamin D. Is it D12? What is it? They're helping us have booting up, B12, right? B12, yeah, B12. Oh, because yesterday, even though I drink the coffee, but afternoon, I think it's very hard to wake. So I'm looking for this B12 in there. So one of a sister, what are you looking for? I'm kind of afternoon, I'm afraid I might sleepy, so I'm looking for vitamin, some helping, you know, myself. And she gave me the vitamin, this B12 ones. After taking as much, I didn't get sleep, so I didn't dozing any, I didn't catch any fish, so thank God. So, because using our wisdom, and this is what we can say, using our wisdom, yeah. So, remember when I, in my time, when I preach, if you sleep, no problem, you can sleep. I don't wake you up because it's my problem, it's not your problem, because what I have sent the message is it's make you lullaby, so it's my problem. Yeah, you don't have to worry about it. But when other preachers or other speakers speak, it's good to awake. Yeah, so it's good, you know. So taking the vitamin B12, it's really helpful. Yes. Or mentally, can say, sometimes we have the life is to engage too much in this world, the worldly things. Then it requires, it's good to, you can take your time for time out. And then when you come to Saturday, if you come, 11 o'clock is the service start, it's good to come 10:30. Don't come, 10:55 and sit down and then just start to, it's mentally cannot calm down. It's very hard. So come early a little bit, quiet down myself, and then time is enough to myself to ready with the prayer and focus, then it's preparations. It's important too. What does it really mean to have a simple faith? What do you think? What is a simple faith? Is it elementary faith or this? What is it? What is a simple faith, you think? Anybody can think simple faith? I learned that Zambia, when I visit, these people, especially they come from the countryside, they're very simple. Things matter, pray. We think, if you have a headache, do you think you in your mind just think, just pray? Do you think that way? Or where is Advil? Where is, you know, something? Because we live in this country, we already get used to with our life, we are in a comfortable life with everything to be arranged, everything to be provided. So sometimes our mind setting is like, yes, we know we have to pray, but then sometimes we have split our mind. Also, thinking is not that intense for seeking to God. Because we always think that there's another options. If you think about it, there's another options. Then naturally, our intensity or strength for seeking God is to be weakened naturally. Yeah. But when you go someplace, you say that there's no Tylenols, but you have a very headache. What are you gonna do? No Tylenol. You just pray because no Tylenol. What you can do? You drink the one cup of water. That's all. You know. You can pray until it's getting better. So that's a simple mind. Sometimes our environment can provide it to. So we sometimes too much with too many around us. It might distract our faith. The faith is more weakened our faith. That's what I think. I always reminding me because I already share with you many times. Because I always learned the simple faith is a lot. I learned from my mother. There's a church when the rats passing through. When I look at the rat, then I think about how can you catching the rat, then trap. You know, the think about inside of me trap, and then we have to set that there's a hole and a seal, or I just catch this, you know, the rat and things to, you know, the trap here and there, or the poison, because nowadays I think Korea doesn't allow that. But so something you think about the killing this, you know, capture this rat. But my mom was very simple at that time. So I pray, so God can kill this rat. I think a junior high. I turn around, I said, laugh at this. My mom's praying, catching the rat. She pray, really, she pray. And then I think 1 or 2 days later, the rat is die outside of the church. My mom said, son, come here, look at. The rat died. Because it really happened. Really happened. That's why I still remember that. This is simple faith. This is simple faith. So simple faith, we have to pray to God. God, give me a heart for simple faith so we can experience of true God. Yeah. Because once you're facing of the Red Sea, what are you going to do? You think about, oh, we have a wood, we can cut it. We can make a boat. And behind is an enemy. So anybody who have anything said you can defense yourself here, and then we're making the boat, everybody get in, cross the Red Sea. What are you going to do, Anna? All different things. The simple faith means God is help us. Don't worry about it, Anna. God is help us. Because, you know, we have not enough time, you know, the enemy is behind. God will take care of it. But this is simple faith that we can use in Genesis chapter 15 when Abraham, let's look at the one. Genesis chapter 15. Because this time, actually, Abraham's, his faith is a little bit discouraged. Because his age is continue getting old, and he knows the time is limited, and God doesn't answer promise that he promised for, son that not given to him. Chapter 15, verse 1. That after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abraham. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." Verse 2. And Abraham says, "O Lord God, what wilt thou give me, since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" You can tell that this time Abraham's faith already kind of discouraged. And he thought, since you don't give me a child, the promised one, the heir is not from you. But here is, Eliezer of Damascus, my servant. That's what he meant. He actually complained to God at that time. And then verse 3, Abraham says, "Since thou hast given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." So this is a complaint to God. It's not really he wants this way. You have to understand this one. If you're Abraham, he really wants this way. Of course, the word it says, but when I read this passage, Abraham complained to God. Abraham complained, which means you have to give me a child. That message actually itself. Verse 4, then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one who shall come forth from you, own body, he shall be your heir." Actually, Abraham wants to hear this word from God, actually. And then verse 5, and he took him outside and said, "Now look toward the heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendant be." The scientist says that once you go out to see the outside of the star, with our eyes we can count it about 5,000 to 6,000. I don't know if it's true or not, but they say that, so I believe it. But we can count numerous stars, right? When God shows the stars, verse 6, then he believed in the Lord. When God go out, look at this, skies, and he saw all the stars, "Your descendant be like this." And then he believed right away. This is a simple faith. There's no more question after all. Just believe it. Simple faith. Now, this is truly a blissful faith, actually. Next one. I'm trying to match with the time and this. When you enter the workforce, how did you learn to balance your time? This is according to your nature of work. According to your strength, according to your capabilities. There's no such things mechanically this much and that much, but your nature of your work, engaged, maybe require not 8 hours, 10 hours is possible. So I think it's God's, the time that you can offer. Saturday is the best you can offer to God. Whatever you are, whatever your job you are engaged, if you have a faith, I want to keep the Sabbath, then God will lead you to keep the Sabbath. I believe so. Do you believe so? I believe so. It is because once you believe, then God will help you according to your faith. You says, ah, maybe it depends on, then that's a depends on. But once you believe that, I want to keep the Sabbath, that I truly believe so, then you pray to God, then God will arrange you, your job, and your life, let you to keep the Sabbath. Definitely. Yeah. I believe so. Because I have a sin that was my father. And also because I look at my life, I say, I want to keep the Sabbath. So far, God never failed me. Sometimes I work early time, but still trying to eat a Friday night or Saturday morning. And then I talk to the owner. I have to keep the Sabbath. So whether you can, don't hire me or hire me, it's up to you. But I need to keep the Sabbath. Then God help me. Yeah, truly help me. So it's important because the balance is at least the Saturday you have you were willing to keep the Sabbath. And well, based on that you keep the Sabbath, sometimes you engage the church, church board members to be, and the holy work you are engaged, And if you have a family, then you have to be wise enough to balance that. And don't think that only you can do holy work, so you neglect your family, neglect your spouse. That's no good. That's no good. That's not what, if you really want to work for God only, don't get married then. Then that's okay, just like a Paul then. But if you get married, your family life is very important. Do you know what I mean? Your family is important. Because the life is not alone, but your wife, your husbands, and children. That's a circle, has to care together. Yeah. So then you have the balance. Next ones. I find myself constantly seeking for sign from God or analyzing situation to see if God is trying to tell me something. Is this a spiritual healthy? I don't know, because this way life is very tough. Every time you have to, the seeking the sign. But we do not believe in God based on what sign that through our eyes can see it. Because Spirit of God is within us. Through the prayer, the Spirit of God help you to understand. This understanding is not logically our own, but God's way to rebuild us. It's not each time, telling us through the dream, I asked God, and tonight dream God showed up, you can do that. You don't do that. It's not the way this way. Many times God allow us to believe as your faith. So we have to understand the basic God's will. Keep the commandments for sure, right? 10 commandments is God's will to keep all of them. There's no any compromise. If anything, the compromise, God, I have these situations, but when I do this, I had the breaking up one of the commandments. Is that okay? I can do it? I can say very foolish. Because I know the commandment, I have to keep them. But yet, ask God, can I break the one of them? This is considered quite foolish, right? So you know what God's will is right away. Right away. And also your life, the First Thessalonians mentioned that God's will is your holiness. Things that the vulnerable to the your life to you might the jeopardize your holiness, then it's a trouble, right? You know what God's will is. Who is the one who the donkeys speak to the person? Who is him? Balaam. Because every time I read that part, it's so kind of frustrated. Because, own donkey stop him, and even hit a few times and then turn around and say, when I against you now? Because I always keep you, you know. By that time, his eyes open. There's an angel with a sword to waiting for the killing him if he passed through there. But later, Balaam asked God, should I not to go or to go? That's considered stupid questions. At that time, he just turned around, he had to go back. You know, he's supposed not to continue to go. And he asked God. God says, you can go since you want it. It is God's will. No. So the God's will, don't be stubborn. But always the word of God is your guiding lines. And you can pray to God. Not just, you know, can I take this spoon or that spoon? Don't ask. You don't have that kind of questions. God telling me these things and that things. It's not. God guide us. Something important, your choice. And then you can pray to God. You know, so here's the seeking for sign from God. Sometimes it can be very dangerous. It can be Satan can work too. So you have to be careful too. I know that somebody, that's okay. But spiritual health, keep the principle. Like we can live within God. And with the prayer, we asking his guidance. Not just answer little thing here, therefore just like listening his voice. It's not that. That can bring us into the dangerous spot. It might be even tempted to Satan too. So just we need to have a pray to God, the sober mind, and always we can find out the principle of the way we can keep the commandments. Life is holy with the commandments. Then God will guide us definitely. And are we allowed to invest in stock? Yeah, you can invest your stock later if you have extra money. But you have to be careful when you invest in stock. Don't over-invest it. But wisely managed, we can say. What about 401k? No problems. Because investment and you're preparing for the retirement is important too. Don't think that I trust in God and you don't do anything. Then later on, God, I'm 65. Give me something. So you don't prepare. God feeding you anyway. But it is wisdom. It is wisdom, right? This is very reasonable. We talk about it. Since marijuana is legalized in some area, can we take it for medical purpose? I think if a doctor approved that you loosen down your pain, there's a purpose of doctor. Purpose for the medical purpose, I think if a doctor approved, it's possible that we can use it. Not only that, the morphine, you know. I remember my father, the last stage, using the morphine to loosen up the pain. I can see that. It is a taking for the, you know, for medical purpose. It is allowed. We know that other than the Friday and our Saturday service, we should also do our best to attend the other weekday service. However, there may be time when we are physically exhausted from the work school. It is okay for us during this time to take time for ourselves to rest? Yes. Or should we force ourselves to go to these weekday service even during time we are physically exhausted according to your faith? The thing is this one, because we have to know the Bible standard. Bible standard is 6 days, work hard. But God provide the seventh day to let us to rest. And also every seventh year, you know the land is to rest. Actually, the whole Israelites rest. Also, 7 times 7. And the 50 years also rest. So God's design us, let us do enough rest. Don't over labor yourself to ruin your bodies. Yeah. God knows what is best for us. Everybody have a different strength. But the principle is we keep the Sabbath. Does it make sense? Even in the Old Testament, because you can think about the Old Testament, they have no Friday night service. Actually, Friday night is, in the Jewish standard, actually they gather their family to have a meal together. Actually, that's what they're doing because there's no electricity. You're gonna go dark, on the dark, where are you going? It's hard to go back to your home in darkness. So the thing is, we have to look at if your strength, if you're healthy enough, you have a time enough, and instead of you watching TV Friday night, you can come to God is best. Don't you think so? This is reasonable I'm talking about. But when your day is too tired, it's good to rest for the next day work too. But the Saturday is different. We have to set aside the Saturday. So what Bible telling us the messages, you can digest the right way. Yeah. And so these questions, I say, yes, according to your faith. It's an important part. Yeah. We are not the only 1 year's life going of faith. We are tenth of years going. You have to well design your life, your family, well manage it. Your faith never will fail. Your health also important issue. Everything you have to consider and you have to concern it. The last one you can finish. How do I answer someone who they ask why other Christian church can perform miracle if TJC is the only church with the abidance or the Holy Spirit? The most important thing is the Holy Spirit and also the truth. The miracle is following up. Never rely on the miracle. Never rely on them. You know the evil spirit can perform the miracle? Do you believe so? Yes, can do that. Yeah. They can deceive us. Christianity, they perform the miracle. They all came from God? No. Some of them. Many of them actually deceiving the, our faith actually. But need faith. And then looking for the truth. Yeah. Truth is a priority. Let's just one that Deuteronomy chapter 13. And then I finish up, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 13. If a prophet of a dreamer of dreams arise among you and give you a sign, a wonder, which means the miracle happened, right? And the sign of the wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, the whom you have not known, and let us serve him. So it is because anybody who's seeking for a miracle, and that this person is perform the miracle, it comes true in what the person says, then it is wrong already, because that person lead to other gods. Yeah. So verse 3 says, you shall not listen to the words of the prophet, of the dreamers of dreams. So the important thing is the scriptures, the word of God. It's a base, and this is a solid base. The truth is the solid base. And not the miracles. Yeah. So we can finish here. I'm sorry, sir. It's about 8 minutes over time, sir. So let's all finish first with a solemn prayer. Amen.